This is, my name is Dean Hampton, and this honestly is one of the best, most fun churches that I've been a part of. And the neat thing is it starts with the drive out. You know how beautiful it is. Coming out here, and I remember one time my windows were down, and I smelled the alfalfa coming through, and that just brought back a ton of memories. I'm like back in the barn again, smelling alfalfa, and it was just so nice. And I get here, and I got here early, and I drove around a little bit trying to kill some time, and was just amazed at the beauty of the area. And then came into the church, and honestly, how can you fault this building? It's got fans going, it's got beautiful, it's just phenomenal. What's even better, though, is the people. I look around, and I see people that I know and I've appreciated for years. And I go, oh, yeah, this is great. I was able to meet a few people in the beginning and just loved hearing a little bit about where they're from. And it's the people that is beautiful. And I've gotten to know Tim, Pastor Tim, for the last 2 years. And I'll give you a hint. You have a good one. You have a really good one. I've been in ministry since 94. Seen a lot of pastors. You've got a good one. And it's neat when I sit down and have coffee with him or I talk with him on the phone and he talks about you. And he has great things to say. And he truly loves you. I hope you know that. Without a doubt, I can say that. He truly loves you. And the neat thing is when I hear him talk, when you let pastors love to talk, I don't know if you ever figured that out yet. He loves to talk, and what he talks about is spiritual growth of people and how that excites him. And you've got a good one. That's his passion that I've picked up from him, is he loves you, and he loves to see spiritual growth. And that's what we talk about at times. So I thank the Lord that I've had a chance to get to know Tim, and I hope that you know you have a good one. And let him know that. Pastoring is 24/7, whether you realize it or not. It's hard to turn off. And he loves you very much. And he has a pastor's heart. And what I'm going to be speaking out of today talks about having a heart for people and how that is revealed in your prayer life. And I want to read the passage for you, and we're going to focus on Colossians 1, 1 through 10, and really 9 through 10. So if you have your Bibles out, turn to Colossians. It's right after Philippians. And I'm going to read this. And I'll be honest with you. I read Colossians for about a month every day, sometimes twice a day, just to drive it deep into me. And every time I was convicted on prayer, every time I was encouraged by prayer, every time I saw Paul's heart, I asked myself, Dean, do you have this heart and is this how you're focused and how you're praying? And I grew a lot through this time. Let me read Colossians 1, 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from our God the Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us the love in your spirit. And so from this day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Of all things to pray for, of all things to focus on, this is the first thing that grabs Paul. He's excited to see they have embraced the gospel, and he's heard about them. And this is his prayer for them. That's what I want to talk about today, is how do we pray for those that we love? And I would make this statement, the way you pray for the people you love reveals what you want most from them. Let me read that again. The way you pray for people you love reveals what you want most for them. I've got a son who's playing baseball right now in Summer College League in Washington. And I said, hey, how can I pray for you? And he said, pray that I play well and that I don't get hurt. I can do that. That's easy. And when I'm watching him online and on television, I'm praying, God, let him hit a home run. God, let him don't get hurt. God, let him get on this time. Please don't strike out. Really deep prayers. Really deep, right? And then, you know, if he strikes out, I go, God, why did you let that happen? Pretty shallow prayers, but from the heart. And then as I read Colossians, I start thinking, okay, it's okay to pray that way, but there's better ways. There's deeper ways. If I were to listen to your prayers for this month, what would I learn about what's most important to you? If I was able to hear your prayers the last month, what is the most important thing you have been praying about, and what does it look like? That's what's most important to you. That's what's most important to me, if I'm honest. And that was what was so convicting. So I look at Paul's prayer, and I go, oh, this is how I should be praying also. Do I pray for my son to hit home runs? You bet. Not to get hurt? You bet. Do I pray for, you name it, people who are suffering? Do I pray for them? You bet. Prayer is very intimate. Prayer is very intimate. I want to share with you today how Paul prayed for those who he loved. And I had to ask this, and I'm going to ask you, are you praying in that same way? When we pray for people we love, we usually pray for health, protection, provision, success, relief from problems. All good, all needed. I was just texting a friend of mine whose husband is in the hospital for the last 40 days. Said, hey, I'm praying for you. Just let's catch up. Simple as that. Praying for health, it's a great thing. These are good prayers, but when Paul prays for people, he aims deeper, especially in this passage. He shows us that the greatest need in a person's life is not improved circumstances, but spiritual transformation. So when I was praying for a home run, was I also praying for his spiritual life? Was I praying that he not be hurt? Was I also praying that he know Jesus more? When I pray for my family, am I also praying that we would walk in a way that's worthy of the Lord? And do I do it consistently? That's what Paul is saying here. Let's walk through this. It's spiritual transformation. The question this morning is, what do you want most for those that you love? What do you want most for those that you love? Look to your right or to your left. You know the people beside you that you love dearly. What do you want for them the most? Paul says to a group of people he never even met yet, I've heard all about you, and I pray this way because what? I love you. I love you. This is how he prays. Paul, first of all, prays consistently because he loves deeply. Look at verse 9, says this, "We have not stopped praying for you." He hears and he's so excited about him, he has not stopped praying for them. He is consistent in his prayer. Paul has never met these believers before, yet he continually prays for them. Why? Because he understands the power of prayer. He understands it's not just verbiage, it's not just an exercise. He understands that there is power in prayer. When you pray, there's power there. There's a connection with Christ. There's a connection with God. There is power there. It's a time when God speaks to you and you speak to God. He continually prays for them. Because we understand something every parent, spouse, every friend eventually learns, simply this: you can influence people, but you cannot change people. You ever think about that? I can influence my kids, but can I change them? Nope. That's a heart change that only God can do. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, that's why you pray. God, I can't do this, but you can. When you pray for your spouse, you pray for your friends, you pray for your family, you're admitting you can't do it. You can influence them, but you cannot change them. There is power in prayer that shows who changes people, and that is God. That's why we pray consistently. That's why Paul looks and prays consistently and knows. Some of you have on your heart right now a prodigal child who has drifted away. A struggling spouse, and that connection is not there. You feel like you're just slowly moving apart. A grandchild who has actively pushed away Christ, and it breaks your heart. A friend in hardship that you look and you can't do anything about other than cry with them, laugh with them, give them a hug, and pray for them. You've talked and encouraged, you've worried, but you can't change their heart, but God can. That's why we pray consistently. That's why Paul, first and foremost, prayed consistently for those that he loved, because he knew the power of prayer, that only God can change. That's what Paul prays for, is spiritual transformation. Look to your right and look to your left. Do you pray for the spiritual transformation of the person next to you? Paul does. Paul does. Prayer is admitting, Lord, I cannot do it, only you can. And that's encouraging, because I don't know about you, but I'm only human and I'm limited. I cannot change people. I can influence them, but God can change them. That's why we go to Him in prayer consistently. Many of us spend time worrying about people. More times we spend worrying about people than praying for them. What does worry do? If this is worry, we pick it up, we walk around with it, we add to it, it gets hard, we carry it over and over and over till our backs break. We hold on to worry, we hold on to anxiety. And when we don't give it away to God, it can break us. God understands that. Paul understands that. We need to pray that we transfer the burden to God. I was amazed in a leadership book written by a man who was not even a Christian. I don't even know if he believed in God. But he said, when you worry, pray to whoever is bigger than you and give it away. I said, man, he's being biblical. That's straight out of Scripture. Prayer allows us to do that. Prayer allows us to give away our burdens to God in the rightful place, because He is the one who can take that away. Otherwise, we're just carrying around a burden that gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. And you know what happens then? You become bitter. I've been there. And I bet you have too. Something doesn't go right, and you grab onto it, and you hold on to it. And instead of praying and giving it away and giving it to the Lord, you hold on to it and you say, no, I'm not getting rid of this. I've got a legitimate beef. And you may have. But you know what? It gets heavier and heavier, and you don't pray to give it away. Paul knows that, and is praying consistently for people. Second is this, if you look at the passage, Paul prays for spiritual understanding. Look to the right and look to the left of the person that you're sitting next to. Are we praying for spiritual understanding? In verse 9, it says this, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So now I'm praying for that for my sons. Let them get on base and let them grow and know your will. Which is starting to see as a deeper prayer. This prayer surprises us. Paul doesn't begin with safety, health, or provision, does he? He doesn't begin that way. Paul prays for understanding. Do you ever want to understand something? Do you ever want to understand God's will? D.A. Carson, a theologian, says this, points out that Paul is not primarily talking about knowing God's secret plan. What he's talking about, he's praying that they understand God's revealed will in Christ. In other words, this, if you break it down, Lord, help them to know you. Help them to know you. Do you pray that for the person to the left or the right? Pray that they would know you. What does that mean? Two quick illustrations. I know my wife better now than I did when I married her. I thought I was brilliant when I met her, right? You're young, you're brilliant, you know everything. I knew my wife perfectly. If you've been married, you smile and you know that's not the case. I get to know her over and over, deeper and deeper, every passing day. If I pursue her, I get to know her better and better. And just an insight on my beautiful wife. The more I get to know her, the more it pleases her. She wants to be known. And she's not unique. Everybody in this room wants to be known and pursued. That's what he's talking about here. Is the person that you're praying for, are you praying that they would actively pursue and know God? That's what he's talking about here. As a parent, I'm speaking to the parents here, a good parent simply doesn't solve problems. A good parent helps develop wisdom. God often does the same thing to us. Sometimes he's more interested in us growing through trials than removing the trial, which I hate. I don't want trials. I don't know about you. I really don't want to go through hardship. Someone made a comment to me one time that I just wanted to reject over and over and over, stomp my feet, turn around and say, that's not true. But I had to agree with them. He said, you learn more through pain than you do pleasure. That's when we change, is when we go through trials. That's why God allows us to go through trials. Everybody in here at some point is going through a trial. You will grow through that trial and look at trials in a different manner. Romans 5:12 says this, more than that, rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Oof. Don't say that to a person who's lost a child recently. Don't say that to someone who's hurting deeply. Listen to what they need. That's a whole nother sermon that Tim can do. Cry with them, laugh with them, listen to them. Be with them. But in our own life, when we know that we're going through a hard time, it produces endurance. Just for laughs, how many farmers do we have in here? You raise a hand. How many times as farming do you go, I don't know, what do you want to do today? What's the weather like? I don't care. I don't care if the cows need to be milked. I'm going to watch television. No, It's always going. There's always something moving. There's always a trial going somewhere. And once you get through those trials, you go, I've seen this before. I know how to work it. God got me through the last one. He'll get me through the new one. That builds endurance. If you're an athlete, what do? You stress your body. Produces endurance. The best athletes have been those who have suffered to build endurance. Same way in life. So we need to actively change our prayers from, Lord, get me out of this, which we've all prayed. I've prayed, you've prayed, we've all prayed that, to, Lord, teach me through this. Give me strength, encouragement, and hope. That's what I want out of this. I want to know Christ better, and that's how we do it. Lord, teach me through this. For your child, help them to know. For your spouse, help them to trust you. For yourself, help me see through your eyes. Are you praying that to the person left and right of you? Are you praying that their spiritual growth would go? Are you praying consistently? Are you praying that they would know and endure for Christ? That's deeper. That's what Paul is praying for here. Three, Paul prays for lives that please Christ. He prays that their life would please Christ. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this, walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Wow. This is our purpose. Knowledge is not the goal. Knowledge is not the goal. Transformation is. Spiritual transformation is the goal. I'll go back to the illustration of my wife. I could read a book about Mary, right? And I could study that. I could go every Sunday and listen to stuff about Mary, but I don't know her. It's the same thing with Christ. It's spiritual transformation through prayer and knowing God, knowing Him deeply, knowing how He loves, how He works. Paul isn't praying for smarter Christians. He's praying for mature Christians. Are we growing in maturity? Talked to a friend of mine who's a pastor whose church is not where he wants it to be numerically, and it's frustrating. But as we talked, we started seeing that there's spiritual growth taking place. And that just brought a smile to his face. It's that spiritual development, that spiritual growth, that spiritual maturity that's our focus, to love Christ and to grow in Him. Here's a personal question for you. What do you want most for your children? What do you want most for your children? What do you want most for your friends? Maybe you don't have children. What do you want most for your family and your friends? Success, comfort, achievement? Paul wants something even greater. He wants them to please Jesus. He wants them to live a life that's pleasing to Christ. One of the greatest joys is hearing my son's going to church when they don't have to. As a pastor's son, as a PK, as a pastor's kid, it's a little dicey. When they're off on their own, do they go to church? Do they pray? Do they talk to you about Christ? One of the greatest joys is to hear, yep, they do. And to see them growing on their own, not force-fed by their tyrant father, right? It's to see that growth. Is that happening to the person to the left and to the right? Paul wants something even greater. He wants them to please Jesus, because success without Christ is not success. Comfort without Christ is not victory. A person that pleases Christ is what matters forever. That's what we live for. Are we pleasing to Christ? Do we pray, Lord, bless me. Bless me in this. Or do we also pray, Lord, let me be a blessing to you? When you walk down this town and you visit with friends, would they say, he's a follower or she's a follower of Christ? What are you known for? What am I known for? At the end of your life, nobody asks, how much stuff did you own? The real question is, did my life honor Christ? Did my life honor Christ? Is that how we're praying for each other? For those who we love, are we praying in that way? It's interesting, if you've ever seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, at the very end, very hard movie to watch, at the very end, he's at a cemetery and he looks at his wife and he's seen a person who sacrificed their life for him, and he turns to his wife in tears and says, tell me I've lived a good life. Tell me I've lived a good life. At the end of my life, will people say, he lived for Christ? Or will they say, he lived for himself? Philippians 1:20 says this, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted. Man, you can just see Paul gets so excited about, I'm exalting Christ in everything that I do. Is that my prayer? Is that my focus? Do I pray that for the person to the right and to the left? Spiritual transformation is taking place. Simply don't pray, make them successful. Pray this, make them holy, make them faithful, make them look more like Jesus. Now we're starting to get deep into prayer. Beyond hitting home runs, is he growing in Christ? Is he more faithful? Number four, Paul prays for fruit that lasts. In verse 10 says this, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Paul sees two things happening in this verse. First one is this, growing upward, growing and knowing God. Are we knowing God deeply every day? Are we knowing him more and more? And are we growing outward? Are we blessing others? Are you a blessing to others? Are you growing? That's what Paul is talking about here. Do you ever notice an apple tree never eats its own apples? Do you ever think about that? No tree ever eats its own apples or its own fruit. It's made for others. The fruit is for someone else. God doesn't grow us merely for ourselves. He grows us for others. How are you affecting others? Are you praying that? The question really is, how are you affecting those around you, your family and friends? Because I guarantee you, you're affecting them some way. When you come into a room, do people leave or do people come towards you? He grows us for others. Ask yourself this, who is stronger because of your faith? Who is encouraged because of your walk with Christ? Who is closer to Jesus because God has used you? Paul wants believers to have a great life and leave a spiritual legacy. When I'm dead and gone, I'm buried, my kids are standing over my grave, what will they say? Didn't leave us very much money. Or will they say, he showed me Christ? What will your family say? What will your friends say about you? Did you show them Christ? Paul wants believers to leave a spiritual legacy. What will be yours? It's shown in your prayer life to those to your right and to your left. Imagine standing before Christ someday and standing there with people you love the most. Your spouse, your children, your family, your church family. At that moment, will it matter how much money that you made? Not how successful they became, not how comfortable life was, What will matter is this. Did they know Christ? Did they love Christ? Did they follow Christ? That's why Paul prays in this way. He's praying for things that matter forever. Forever. The people who love need more than your worry, more than your advice, more than your concern. They need someone who is faithful, bringing them before God. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Let me challenge you. Can I do that? I'm leaving after this, so I can challenge you any way I want, right? Here's my challenge to you. Get your pencils ready. Choose one person. One person. Write down their name. The person that God is putting on your heart right now and has been putting on your heart. The Spirit is working in you going, pray for this person. Be with this person. Who is that? Choose one person. Two, pray Colossians 1, 9 and 10 every day. For a week, for a month, whatever you want. And insert their name into these areas. And I want you to say this, if you can. Lord, fill whoever is on your heart with the knowledge of your will. Fill with the knowledge of your will. Two, help them walk worthy of Christ. Walk worthy of Christ. Three, help this person bear fruit. Finally, this, help them know you more deeply. That's actively working on this verse and seeing and growing people towards Christ. Change one prayer priority. Before praying for their circumstances, pray for their soul. Before praying for their comfort, pray for Christ's likeness. Before praying for success, pray for spiritual growth. The way you pray for people you love reveals what you want most from them or for them. May God help us become people who pray like Paul, people who ask God not merely to change circumstances, but to transform lives.